The X-Zone Radio Show with Rob McConnell is largely an opinion talk show. All opinions, comments, or statements of fact expressed by Rob McConnell's guests are strictly their own and are not to be construed as those of the X-Zone Radio Show or endorsed in any manner by Rob McConnell, Relmar McConnell Media Company, the X-Zone Broadcast Network, its affiliated networks, stations, employees, or advertisers.
All Hit Radio.
Welcome to the X-Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob McConnell.
And welcome back to the X-Zone, everyone. I am Rob McConnell, and as usual, we are coming to you around the world from our broadcast center and studios in Niagara, Ontario, Canada. Now, if you'd like to send me an email, xzone@xzoneradiotv.com, on all social media sites, X-Zone Radio TV. And for the broadcast schedule of the X-Zone Broadcast Network, visit www.xzbn.net. Exonation, my first guest tonight is a gentleman we've had the pleasure of having on the show before. His name is Tom T. Moore. Now, Tom is an award-winning author, speaker, and is the entertainment, as in the entertainment business, where for over 38 years he has been president and CEO of his own international motion picture and TV program distribution business, based in Plano, Texas. Now, during this time, he has traveled extensively as part of his business duties to international film markets held in Cannes, Milan, Los Angeles, and Budapest. He is the author of 5 books, The Gentle Way, a self-help guide for those who believe in angels, The Gentle Way 2, The Story Continues, The Gentle Way 3, Master Your Life, First Contact, Conversations with an E.T., and Atlantis and Lemuria, The Lost Countenance Revealed. And for more information about Tom and where you can contact him and also get his books, visit his website at www.thegentlewaybook.com. First of all, Tom, welcome back to the X-Zone. Great having you with us, and congratulations on being winning the Best Self-Author for 3 years. Congratulations, sir.
Thank you. Nice to be with you, Rob.
Tell us, whereabouts are you located, Tom? Are you still in Texas?
Yes. Plano, Texas.
Plano, Texas.
Not the greatest name, but it's the Spanish word for plains, I believe.
And you know, we're in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic. How has the pandemic affected you and the other residents of Texas?
Well, it's gotten to the point where everyone has to be wearing masks.
Yeah.
And naturally, every time I go out, I request a benevolent outcome to be guided away from anybody that's ill. And so far, so good, knock on wood. And so we basically stay self-quarantined most of the time, because there are people out there that that don't wish to wear masks.
Yeah.
I flew up to Denver a month or so ago for a TV interview up there, and on the way back, there was a guy sitting next to me in the middle seat, and he wasn't wearing his mask. And I said, would you mind putting on your mask? And he said, oh, if it makes you feel better, I will. And I said, it does. So there you go.
Good. Well, you know, continued health to you and your family and to all the other great people in the state of Texas. And hopefully this pandemic will be petering out sooner than later. I remember talking to the last time we were on, we talked about the contact conversations with an ET. And let me see, also Atlantis and Lemuria. You've had several contacts with ET, if my memory serves me correct.
Yes, I am in... weekly contact with a member of my soul group who happens to be having a life as an ET. He's an amphibian on a planet called Nomo in the Sirius B star system, and he's actually orbiting overhead in a 3 mile wide and 20 stories tall mothership with a crew of 900 and their families totaling 1500, because many of the crew live their whole lives on this huge ship. And of course they are a slight frequency off, so we can't see them and be scared to death, but we have weekly conversations.
Now, if my memory serves me correct, your contact is Antura?
Yes, exactly. Very good.
Now, did the ETs have any idea that planet Earth was going to get struck with COVID-19?
Yeah, you know, that's just part of the learning process that we all have to go through, and which we, you know, didn't have to do any of that stuff, but we do.
Tom, what is the history of The Gentle Way, the series of books that you've published and authored?
Yes. what is the history? Gosh.
Yeah.
I started requesting benevolent outcomes, and they worked absolutely perfectly within my soul contract. And I started out, you know, really with small requests like a parking space or drive to work, that kind of stuff. And it just worked perfectly. And so I started writing articles about it. And that grew because people were finding the same thing as they experimented with this modality. It worked perfectly. And I'd never been able to say that for any kind of modality that I'd ever tried, whether it be the law of attraction, which this is 100 times better than the law of attraction. It's just amazing. What we found is that when you say something out loud, it has great energy as compared to just thinking it. And so that's... And it's especially really has a high energy if everyone says the same thing together or more or less at the same time. So we're talking about great energy being produced by the verbal word. And people, I should say scientists, have not rediscovered that yet.
Would this also be the same principle behind praying, prayer? You know, a group of people getting together, reciting a prayer. For example, I go to the Anglican Church, and every Sunday we say the Lord's Prayer out loud. Would this be the same principle as we're talking about?
Yes, and the difference is a lot of churches do not. You know, they'll have someone saying the prayer, and everyone else just bows their head and thinks it. But if everyone says the same prayer as does your church, where everyone is saying the same thing, then you create great energy when you do that.
You know, I remember as a child in elementary school, we would all stand up and say the Lord's Prayer out loud, and then we would all sing O Canada. And I'm just wondering if that is part of the reason why our school system is so screwed up these days, is because of the lack of the saying the prayer out loud, or as you and I were discussing a little earlier, would this be equal to your intention?
My intention.
Yeah. For example, if you're saying, we were saying that it's not the same as the secret, but you say it out loud. So would this be a mantra that you're saying out loud, or would this just be a verbal request?
It's a verbal request, okay? And you say, let's just say you're wanting to do it for a group of people. Or whatever.
Okay.
You say, I ask any and all beings to aid, comfort, and assist such and such a person who is ill and to bring them back to full health as soon as benevolently possible. Something in that order. You can change this up to fit the circumstances. But when you do that, it's this sound coming out of your body, and that's what's the major energy factor.
Because of the vibration.
Yes, I think so. I've been told that it has connections with the blocks of the pyramids being used. Mm. That they used a chant that was at a certain level that lifted the blocks of stone and could be moved.
Fascinating. Tom, you and I have to take our first break. Please stand by. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us tonight. It is appreciated, my friend. Exonation, our guest this hour is Tom T. Moore. His website is thegentlewaybook.com. And Tom and I will be back on the other side of this commercial break as we continue here in the X-Zone from our broadcast center and studios in Niagara, Ontario, Canada. Once again, if you'd like to send me an email, xzone@xzoneradiotv.com, on all social media sites, xzoneradiotv. And for the broadcast schedule of the X-Zone Broadcast Network, www.xzbn.net. And for our channel on Simul TV, the X-Zone TV channel, that is on 724-365, visit www.simultv.com. I'm Rob McConnell. This is the X-Zone. Tom T. Moore and I return on the other side of this break. Don't go away. Explanation. Tom T. Moore is my special guest this hour. His website is thegentlewaybook.com. Tom, how did you get interested in, you know, the articles that you write about? For example, Atlantis, Lemuria, your contact book. Where does the interest originate?
Sure. I'll take Atlantis and Lemuria first.
Sure.
One day I was talking to my guardian angel Theo in one of my meditative sessions, and I asked him, have I ever had a life on Atlantis? And he said, oh, Tom, he said that's where the gentle way originated. You had 1 million followers requesting benevolent outcomes, and then this was 12,700 years ago, and as things got worse between the people of Poseidia, who were the Law of One, and the people of Aaron, the island of Aaron, and some five little small islands below that, they were getting into wars and things, and it was getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I migrated from Poseidia through Europe over to Egypt with 25,000 of my followers. So that was my introduction to learning about Atlantis, and I just started asking more and more and more questions about their lives and just everything, and about the horrific war that wound up sinking all the islands mm-hmm. when they went to war with each other with laser weapons. So so that was the start of that, and then as far as with Antura, I was talking to Theo one day, and we were talking about some ruins on another side of the world, and he said I was going to see them one day, and he said you know, an ET is listening in to our conversation right now, but would you like to talk to him? And I said, no, let me think of some questions. And so a couple of weeks later, I started talking to him, and I eventually found out his name,
mm-hmm.
found out his connection to me, and just enormous information about the serious ABC stars and all the planets that are there, and even things about the what they call diplomatically the Great War, which I call the Reptilian or the Draco War, which went on for thousands of universal years or Earth years are 10 times faster than a universal year.
Tom, how is it that you are able to communicate with the angels, communicate with the ETs, and I don't know very many other people who can?
No, there aren't. I'm told that I'm the only guy in the world that actually takes questions from people that send in questions to me mm-hmm. and ask. And I do this every week, and I've been doing it. I put out a weekly newsletter. All my newsletters since 2007 are archived on my website.
Right.
So, and I have a search box so that people can check to see if I've asked a question before, or and get more information about a particular subject.
But why you?
Why me?
Yeah.
Oh gosh, that's a little bit of a story. I date back to Nomo II. Okay, I was this little amphibian spiritual leader way back in over thousands of lives, and then we started having this major war that was terrible. It was a horrible war with the reptilians.
Mm-hmm.
Who wanted to take over planets in this part of the galaxy, and they were going on. It wasn't going very well for all these planets,
mm-hmm.
and this little amphibian said, "Well, why don't you invite them to take part in the Earth experiment?" And they said, "Oh, that would never work." And so another 450. Universal years goes by, billions of beings being killed, and finally, they, out of desperation, they suggested it, and the reptilians took them up on it. So that, you know, I sort of paved the way for me. My sole interests are religions. I've been around for every single religion, the start of every religion in the world, with the exception of two, and those are in the future for me, Scientology and Rastafarian.
Okay, so let me see if I've got this straight. You're in contact with an ET by the name of Antura, am I right? Your
right.
guardian angel is Theo.
Yep.
And then there's Gaia, the soul of the Gaia. Earth and quantum master.
Yes.
Wow, you've got all your bases covered.
Well, no, I mean, I've had conversations with the sun, with the moon.
Okay, hold on here. How do you communicate with the sun?
Hmm?
How do you communicate with the sun? The sun is a planet, an exploding ball mass of energy.
Well, but keep in mind, every single planet and every single sun mm-hmm. in the universe is ensouled. Now, our sun is like a physics master. When I talk to him, it's like he has to dumb down all his answers to me because I don't have any scientific background.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So he really dumbs down. But he said he'll be happy to talk to anyone that wants to talk to him, if you do. I suggest he's a good guy to speak to about very scientific type subjects.
What is the moon like to talk to?
Oh, you know, she's just she goes by Luna,
mm-hmm.
okay, and that's how she goes, that's, you know, I've just asked her questions just like
mm-hmm.
I do anyone else.
But what kind of character would you say she has? You said that the sun has a character of a physics master. How would you describe the character of Luna?
I haven't talked to her enough to really feel like I've got a real handle on exactly everything about her. It's just that she seems very, you know, very nice and and is waiting for more of us to come and check out the moon.
How about Mars?
Have had a little conversation. She's really says she's going to treat us like a guest in her house.
She's going to treat us like a guest in her house. Is she talking about space explorers?
Yeah, she's waiting for the Mars explorers to come, and she's just buying her time. After all, you know, she's not supposed to have explorers until 20 or 25 years from now.
So can she tell you if there was life previous on Mars, and if so, what happened? Or have you had that conversation?
Just a little. Yeah. I'd have to say we've had a little bit of that conversation, but I haven't had enough people ask questions about Mars yet. Yes, some, but not to the extent that, you know, that I probably need to. You can actually use that search mode that I have on my articles and news page and put in Mars, and it'll give you all the times that I've asked questions about Mars for her.
Obviously, based on what you and I have discussed so far, creation, as we are led to believe, as it happened, seems to be all wrong.
And from what standpoint?
Well, for example, you say that the planets, including the sun, have souls. You're able to communicate with them. And nowhere can I remember, whether it was college or any of the university courses I took, or even high school science or theology, have we ever been told or even suggested that you can communicate with the sun, the moon?
Well, and we haven't gotten into communicating with dog soul that ensouls all the dogs on Earth, or cat soul.
No, but I would just like to, I've got to take my break now for the news at the bottom of the hour.
Okay.
But when we come back, I'd like to get your take based on the communications that you have had with Theo, with Antura, as well as Gaia, on how creation was actually accomplished. We'll be back on the other side of this commercial break with my guest this hour, Tom T. Moore, and his website is www.thegentlewaybook.com. This is the X-Zone, a place where people dare to believe and dare to be heard. It's a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. And we come to you Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern until 2 a.m. Eastern, right here on the X-Zone Broadcast Network, Talkstar Radio Network, Mutual Broadcast Network, and Simul Radio and Simul TV. I'll be back on the other side of this break. Don't go away. X-Zone Nation, my guest this hour is Tom T. Moore. His website is thegentlewaybook.com. Tom, in the first part of this hour, we were talking about your communication that you've had with Gaia, with Theo, and an alien or an extraterrestrial by the name of Antura. How do they all agree on the way that creation happened? And if so, could you share that with us?
Okay. Yes, they do. Now, well, let's start at the first.
Okay.
there was originally, or there is still now, a creator of creators. I call her Big Mama. She has created billions of creators, okay? There are billions of universes. Mm-hmm. The creator of our universe said, told me that, and I've spoken with creator too, told me that creator was sort of in the middle pack, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
Theo has told me that the creator of this universe would be ranked as one of the top five creators of all the billions of other creators. And so our creator decided to try an experiment because, and this is something that's fairly new information even for me, like in the last year or so, there are 10 positive energies that all of our universe and all of the other billions of other universes operate on.
Okay. But
there are 4 negative energies, and I'm told that our scientists, since they're not even looking for this, this will be several hundred years before they discover this, but eventually they will discover that there are 4 negative energies, and the creator of our universe wanted to see if these 4 negative energies could be worked with. So hence mm-hmm. was born the Earth experiment. And so we're in a special space-time continuum that operates within and with all these 4 negative energies. And I've had people ask questions, well, could it be a negative energy? Could be this, it could be mm-hmm. that. And so far, no one has even gotten close, and I'm told we probably never will. Now, what's interesting, and I think this is in my newsletter that I just sent out today, someone was asking about the positive energies, if we could see them physically. And I was, and they asked, well, such as a black hole. And I was told that a black hole is part of those 10 positive energies. So, in other words, it's part of that framework. And that's as far as we got. You can see it's
rather
hard,
complicated.
It's difficult for me. Okay.
So who is the creator? What is our purpose here on this planet? If they have all the answers, what do they need us for?
Okay. The creator asks for souls to volunteer for the Earth experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what were we promised? Number one, it would fast-track what's called raising our vibrational levels, or what some people call ascension.
Okay.
Okay. And it would fast-track, so we would raise our vibrational levels much faster than, say, our guardian angels, who are also called golden light beings and like to be known as servants of the Creator, okay?
And
they're golden light beings because over a hugely long time, they raise their vibrational levels to the point where they glow a golden light, and that's why they're called golden light beings. And so we're going to raise our vibrational levels much faster than they were able to. Number two is that eventually, several million years from now, I have no idea how long, our souls are from having taken part in this Earth experiment,
mm-hmm.
plus having millions of lives on all the other planets in this universe, will meld together and become a creator, which has never been done before in any of the billions of other creations, and we will take over running this universe for the creator, and our creator will go to some higher level that even it doesn't know what's there. So that's how it's been explained to me in as easy terms as possible.
Where do the angels come from?
Okay, they were all volunteers. So as an example, the guardian angels,
mm-hmm.
the creator put out a call for golden light beings only to watch over us, since we were going to be veiled from knowing about our true existence. And the reason we had to be veiled is that we have to learn how to make all these billions and billions and trillions of decisions that only could be done if we didn't know that we'd had the same problem before.
Okay,
so
but
in other
you
words,
see,
we would
okay.
be able to come up with a new. Go ahead.
But why do we need to do this if the Creator already knows the answer? It makes no sense. Are we being used as puppets? Are we their entertainment?
No, we're part of volunteering for experiment to see if somebody could work with these four negative energies. So that's our reward for taking part in the experiment.
Okay, and how long has this experiment been going on?
Of course, you know, in my Atlantis and Lemuria mm-hmm. book, Lemuria book, it dates back like 10 million years. But the nice thing about it is there's only 7,000 more years ago before the end of the Earth experiment. And in my newsletter today, I was just mm-hmm. told that I'm going to be around for the very, very end of the Earth experiment, and I'll be one of, in fact, I'll lead the uncreation of any buildings or housing or whatever we're using at that time period. And we'll all leave the planet pristine. It will become a vacation spot for all the rest of the universe for the to come and see where it all started, because we're going to take negative energy. Mm-hmm. See, that's the other number three I should have mentioned. We're going to take this small parts of this negative energy, and we're going to take it to other planets because they've been sitting stalled in raising their vibrational levels, and it will allow them to start growing again. So there's a purpose to all this.
Now, the ET that is circling the Earth in his ship, that is, what is it, 3 miles long and 30 stories high?
Yeah, 3 miles wide.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. What is his job in all of this? Like, you've got the angels doing this, you've got the sun, the moon, Mars all communicating. We've been doing this, been part of this experiment for longer than science acknowledges our existence. So what does the ET have to do with it and the 1,500 people that are aboard his craft?
Okay. First of all, he's part of a first contact team. That's what it's called.
Okay.
His specialty is grassroots contacts. And after he's had 800 lives on Earth so far, mostly as an explorer, or and setting up towns from the very start. In other words, laying out the streets and everything. That's his sole interest.
Does he have an Earth name?
Does he have a what?
Earth name. If this guy has been setting up towns, and the other thing,
he's had 800. He's had 800 Earth names.
Do we know any of them?
He was the uncle of Marco Polo, and he traveled the Silk Road before Marco Polo ever started writing about it. Number two, I do know he was Sacagawea, if I can pronounce that name halfway correctly, who helped Lewis and Clark on their expedition. So those were two of the lives that he had.
Okay, so why haven't they made contact yet? If they're there, why not make contact and help us along on our journey? Or is this part of the experiment that he's monitoring? And if he's monitoring the experiment, who does he report to?
Okay, first of all, they made an agreement with the governments of the world that they would not interfere, okay? In fact, there is what's called the Earth Directive, and that came about back in the Atlantean and Lemurian times when they thought they were helping us, gave the Atlanteans crystal power, which they turned into lasers in war, and the Lemurians took their free energy and turned it into hydrogen-type bombs that blew apart their continent. So they have this Earth directive that they're not supposed to mess with us.
All right, Tom, I've got to take my final break. Please stand by. ExoNation, sure. Tom T. Moore is our special guest, www.thegentlewaybook.com. And we'll be back as we wrap up this hour here in the X-Zone with Tom. And interesting, you know, there's a few questions that I have jotted down during this past 45 minutes, and hopefully we'll be able to get through them all. Once again, if you'd like to find out more about Tom, visit his website, thegentlewaybook.com. I'm Rob McConnell. This is the X-Zone, and we're coming to you from our broadcast center and studios in Niagara, Ontario, Canada. Welcome back, everyone. This is the X-Zone. Tom T. Moore is my guest this hour. His website is thegentlewaybook.com. One of the questions I have for you, Tom, is where is Atlantis and how can we really prove that it's there?
Atlantis no longer exists. First of all, 31,000 years ago, the continent, which was located in between North America and Europe and Africa, it was 10% larger than Australia, and it had a line of volcanoes bisecting the whole continent. They all blew up at one time, and most of the continent disappeared underneath the ocean.
I see.
Leaving the ocean completely unnavigable for quite a long time. Then 12,500 years ago, that's when Poseidon and Aaron sank themselves in that horrific war where lasers would melt the ground right underneath the people. And so all the islands sank, and the seas of the world rose 41 feet at that time, and that's when Noah and his boat floated away. Then Lemuria, 7,500 years ago, it was about 10% larger than, than Australia, and they blew themselves up.
But I thought you just said that it was Atlantis that was 10% larger than Australia.
Well, okay, there's two continents.
Right.
Atlantis was 10%. And Lemuria was 12%, or vice versa.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I'd have to look that up again. But go with 10% on both of them, and it'll be close enough.
But is there any archaeological proof of either one of these two continents being in existence?
Yeah. You know, some of the islands are still left over, like the Canaries and a couple of islands off the coast of Newfoundland and places like that. So they're Bermuda, but because this was so many thousands of years ago, there's been a buildup, and I'm told that yes, you can find ruins, but you're going to have to dig really deep.
All right. So if we look at the space between Bermuda and Newfoundland, which is on Canada's east coast, we're talking about something a lot larger than just 10% of Australia.
I don't think so.
No?
Okay. I've got maps on it, but
right.
Okay. You know, that's it doesn't go all the way to Newfoundland. The top of Atlantis goes to a height of 47 degrees. On the latitude, but it doesn't go all the way over to Newfoundland, but there's some islands off the coast and maybe it's North America somewhere. And I'm sorry, I don't know my geography
okay.
that closely.
That's no problem.
When we get around there, but there is a there are one or two islands that are left over.
When you were talking to me about leading a group of 25,000 out of Egypt, am I correct that you're the leader?
Yeah.
It kind of sounds like the story of biblical times of Moses.
Oh, I've never thought of it that way, but Moses did exist. As I told you, I was I've been around for all the start of the religions, and mm-hmm. I was one of Moses' sons. So I mean, that did happen.
No disrespect here, Tom, but how do we know that what you're telling us is true? That this just isn't a made-up story that you as an author, you as somebody being in the entertainment industry, mm-hmm. didn't make up?
Well, I wish I was that smart, okay? I wish I was that creative.
But how do we know you didn't?
Okay. I have archived all of my newsletters mm-hmm. on my website.
Yeah.
And you can go through them, and you know, I'm in the 80 to 90% accuracy percentile. Okay. I am not perfect. So that means 20 to 10% of the time I could be wrong on something. But I put it out there. I don't try and mm-hmm. hide it and say, "Oh, I never said that." It's in my newsletters.
Yeah.
You can read them. Today's newsletter was 12 pages long. Every single week.
I'm not disputing the fact, Tom, that okay. this information is on your website and that you didn't write it down. Yeah. But I'm saying, well, how can I know it's true and just not a masterful art of fiction?
Sure. You know, I've been told that the way you're supposed to look mm-hmm. at anybody's messages
yeah.
is, does it give you heartburn mm-hmm. or does it resonate with you? Mm-hmm. And if my messages do not resonate with a person,
right.
then go on and maybe someone else's messages will. So it's really up to the individual. I'm putting the stuff out. I'm saying, this is what I received. And I'm not saying, oh, you've got to believe me. I'm saying, if you want to believe it, fine. If you don't, fine.
But you're putting yourself in the very key parts of history. You know, Moses is, what were you, nephew?
No, son.
Oh, no, Moses is son.
Let's go on. And for Jesus, mm-hmm. I was Salome, or however she pronounced her name, the mother of James and John, and one of his female disciples. So for Muhammad, I was a friend. For Krishna, Krishna, the Hindu people yeah. don't know, but he incarnated 77 times in a row as Krishna, and I would come along, and ever so few lives or so, I would drop in, and both of us were in the Mahabharata, I can't pronounce that, war together that was actually fought with a nuclear weapon.
Once again, how can you prove that what you're saying is true, besides the fact that if it doesn't resonate with us or if it doesn't give us heartburn, what's the proof?
Well, I hope the proof is coming, because one of the things that Antura told me just before I closed off my first contact book mm-hmm. was that my family and I are going to shoot the first documentary on board his mothership. And one of the things that we're going to look at mm-hmm. is all the footage they have of our past history. So hopefully that'll come along.
And if it doesn't?
If it doesn't, I'm content with having brought people back to the gentle way that works in their lives, and it makes their lives less stressful and more successful.
But how does
that's fine for me.
How does it make your life more stress-free and more enjoyable?
Because you request, when you request benevolent outcomes for mm-hmm. for something, let's just say, at one time I was sued for $1 million. Mm-hmm. I requested a benevolent outcome eventually in mediation. I didn't have to pay anything, okay? That made my life a whole lot stressful, I guarantee you.
Could that just have been coincidence?
Could have been, but I was told by the attorney before we went into the mediation with mm-hmm. with a network and another distributor with these producers that were suing us that I was going to wind up paying something, and I didn't.
And this is your proof of the legitimacy of the claims that you're making and the evidence?
Oh, I'm just saying that's just one of the examples
I see.
Of how you can make your life easier. I have a lady up in Canada mm-hmm. that they were going to lose their family vacation house, and she requested a benevolent outcome to win the lottery. She won $1 million Canadian dollars. And was able to save her vacation.
Well, you know the old saying, you can't win the lottery unless you've got a ticket. Tom, thanks very much for joining us. It's been a rather interesting hour. I didn't know we had such famous people listening to our show and wanting to be on here. The son of Moses. Wow. A guy who communicates with an extraterrestrial that orbits the Earth in a UFO that is 3 miles wide and 30 stories high. My God! He talks to angels. His angel is Theo. He talks to the planets. My God, where do these people come from? You be the judge. Send me an email, xzone@xzoneradiotv.com. That's my email address. But in the words of good old Penn and Teller, in my opinion as well, this was 100% bullshit. We'll be back on the other side of this commercial break with the news as we continue here in the X Zone from our broadcast center and studios in Niagara, Ontario, Canada. Man alive. Where do they get these stories from? He's got a good imagination. Doesn't know his geography. Made a few mistakes on his math as well. But hey, what the heck? He is the son of Moses. We'll be back. Don't go away.